8 o'clock, Jim Davison, Cake, Tyler Franson from the Bose Darth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Happy Friday to you. Chance to win with our Winer of the Week with Talon Winery. So send that in to us today. I like the Nick Wright one. Ripping on Nikola Jokic. Or Nikola.
Nikola. By the way, forgot to mention this to you earlier off air. We also, as a prize today, have two single-day tickets to the Grand Valley Scottish Games and Celtic Festival.
All right, so somebody's going to win Qdoba today.
Yes.
Possibly win with Wine of the Week with Talon Winery.
Yep.
And a couple of tickets to the Highland Games coming up next weekend at the Mesa County Fairgrounds.
You will have until Friday, May 4th to pick those up
from our station. Went out there year before last. Of course, it didn't happen last year.
Right.
And it's a lot of fun. Young Dubliners, really good band that's played here quite often in the Grand Valley. They're going to be out there performing. And just have fun watching the dudes toss the caber around and great food, music, and fun. So a chance to win those coming up on the program today. So, but you got to text in to win Qdoba or the tickets to the Highland Games. We got a couple things for you to comment on today. Better odds or better chance of happening, I should say. Aaron Rodgers coming to Denver or Patrick Surtain Jr. winning the Rookie Defensive Player of the Year Award. Also, Colton Welker, former GJ Rocky. Rocky AAA farmhand testing positive for a performance-enhancing drug. He's getting an 80-game suspension, but he said, whoa, wait a minute. Some other guys have tested positive for this before. The amount was minuscule.
Right.
I thought this was a substance that was okay for me to be taking. Is 80 games now too much, particularly for a guy like that? I think big league level, okay. If you can't prove clearly that you're being wronged, but for a guy that's a prospect, minor league developmental guy like Colton Welker is, 80 games is a lot. That's a huge chunk of your career, development, trying to get to the big league level. I just think that's a bit too much.
Right.
There was a time I would have been fine with it. Look, if it's 30 games, okay, it's 30 games. There has to be a price to be paid, but that's a pretty big price, especially if there's not clear intent, taking anabolic steroids, taking HGH, taking something that clearly allows you to work out more.
Right.
To get bigger and stronger, and it's an unfair advantage in that regard.
If you're saying, I am taking substance X to improve my game in a way that gives me an unfair advantage, or I acknowledge that it could give me an unfair advantage, yes, that warrants 80-game suspension. Because there's intent, there's an understanding of you know what you're doing and you're still going to do it anyway, so therefore you should face the consequences of it. But if it's a case like if what Colton Welker is saying ultimately proves true, then this seems like an overreach.
There needs to be certainly, number one, the due diligence done to make sure that this is not an unfair penalty price that he's going to have to pay.
Right.
You know, they had Justin Lawrence referred to him, the Rockies pitcher that tested positive for the same thing and lost all of last season. But then, I mean, a lot of people, minor league level in particular, lost last season.
Yeah, there were other circumstances about that too. But
I just think that if the amount was small and it's something that's in that, and this is very much a gray area. And look, I'm not saying that it's okay for guys to cheat. I don't get the feeling that Colton Welker intentionally went out trying to take something that runs against the rules of performance enhancing drugs and those kind of things that are in Major League Baseball right now. I don't get that sense from him. And it's just a big price for a guy to pay that's a prospect level guy, minor league guy, 40-man right. roster guy. Of losing that much time in your young career, that much development time.
Like, who's trying to teach what lesson to whom? Is Major League Baseball trying to send a message to prospects saying, hey, don't do this or we're going to bring the hammer down? Or is it trying to send a message to big leaguers like, hey, you think we're harsh on prospects? Wait till you see what we do to you.
Yeah, I just think there's...
What's the lesson here?
Exactly. If they popped him for taking HGH anabolic steroids, okay. I'm fine with them paying that price. This is something different. The amount that they found was so small. Like I said, it wouldn't even trigger a positive at the UFC level, which, you know, come on. It's UFC. I think the perception there is they play fast and loose with some things.
Right.
But at least in this case, they have a standard. They have a minimum standard of what triggers a positive test. So you have some thoughts on that today. Getting back to, of course, the never-ending story of one Green Bay Packers quarterback.
Rodgers! This got double check.
Who's dominated our conversation the last few days. The odds are out as far as Rodgers coming to Denver. And right now the Broncos are the odds-on favorite to get the services of one Aaron Rodgers.
Now, here's the question. Is it odds-on favorite if there's a trade? Or is it odds-on favorite, period, that he's going to be a Bronco and, like, he's the favorite to be a Bronco and then the Packers are, like, number two or number three?
I'd have to look and see the rest of the odds on this because I'm not seeing the actual... Just it says the Broncos are the favorite to get him. You see if
it says to get him, I'm going to assume that
trade.
Means...
Give me a trade.
If there's a trade, these are the teams, I think. Not because I've seen... I think I've seen both where it's if there's a trade, where will he land? And then those are the odds. And then I've also seen where will Aaron Rodgers play in 2021?
Right.
And I think still in that case, I think Packers are still the quote unquote favorite, but you don't know. You never really know.
But right now, because of just the mere speculation, it's enhanced the Broncos' odds to go to the Super Bowl just by the mere connection to his name. Obviously, if that doesn't happen, that will be adjusted by the smart guys, the wise guys out in Vegas.
Right.
But as of right now, it's enhanced the Broncos' odds of being a Super Bowl team. So where are we with this? Benjamin Albright, who we hope to get back on the show at some point. Benjamin Albright was doing his Broncos Country Tonight show, and he talked about the possibility of Aaron Rodgers coming to Denver and whether or not that, you know, what's going to happen there. Could he possibly be a Denver Bronco? I'm going to play a little of the audio for you from Broncos Country Tonight. Here's Benjamin Albright saying right now he thinks it's better than a 50-50 chance that Rodgers ends up in Denver.
Destination is the Denver Broncos. I mean, you see a lot of things out there. I loved ESPN putting together their trade packages.
ESPN?
Four letters.
24-hour sports network. That'll never work.
They put together their trade packages, and I loved your response today on Twitter. It's like, well, other than having the wrong quarterback, the wrong wide receiver, and something else wrong. Like,
the wrong defensive player.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah, they wanted us to trade Pat Surtain, who's on the front end of a rookie deal that would give us like $40 million in dead cap.
That would make no sense.
It makes no sense whatsoever to trade Surtain.
This like, isn't the NBA.
Whatsoever.
This isn't the NBA where you're taking players for other teams on draft night.
And you can't do that. Like you can't like unless you've got just a ton of cap space, you can't trade a player you just drafted. Like even though they're in the rookie thing, a lot of that money's guaranteed. It's a huge number.
Yeah,
so that's just not going to happen.
The swap of Surtain and Eric Stokes.
Yeah, I was like, this is just somebody who does not understand caponomics whatsoever. It wouldn't be. You wouldn't be moving Pat Surtain. You'd be moving Fuller or you'd be moving Callahan in that scenario if you were moving a corner. And the reality is you're probably looking forward to sending defensive player on a rookie deal.
It's like so Draymond Jones.
Or Bradley Chubb.
Yeah.
So, and then the receiver, I mean, you can't trade Tim Patrick because he's in an RFA tag and the new rules don't allow you to do that.
And Jerry Judy's in the second year of his rookie deal.
They're not trading Jerry Judy. So it'd either be KJ Hamler or Deshaun Hamilton. Hamilton's the one they want to punt on. So there
but will the Packers be like thrilled about getting?
I mean, maybe you know it's a throwaway at that point. I mean,
if you can talk him into it. I mean, at this point, you're talking about wide receiver five for the Broncos could be as good as wide receiver three for the Packers.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. And so, and then Teddy Bridgewater. Why Teddy Bridgewater over Drew Lock? Because they've already got a developmental quarterback. It has nothing to do with the talent of either one. What they would want back would be a cheap bridge option, which Bridgewater actually is.
Now you don't need another upside play.
Yeah, what are you doing putting Jordan Love and Drew Lock? It's the same guy. I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, not the same guy.
No,
but
I know.
Idea. Like they're both young developmental guys that you're not sure if they're ready. You know, not sure if they're the guy.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. What do you think about the text messages and the group chat conversations where Aaron Rodgers reportedly made reference to the Packers GM and called him Jerry Krause, which is again referencing Jerry Krause, who put together the Bulls championship teams, but it was more of a dig because of how Michael Jordan felt about Jerry Krause towards the end when he was sort of breaking everything up.
I don't know about that specific comment, and that specific comment rings hollow to me for several reasons. I don't really want to get into all those right now, but that specific comment rings hollow to me. That said, I know Aaron Rodgers doesn't like Brian Gutekunst. He's had a grudge against him since he punted Jordy Nelson, who was his buddy. Like, Jordy was his guy, and he didn't let Aaron know ahead of time, and he punted on Jordy Nelson. Now, Jordy didn't have much of a career after that, and so from a personnel decision, it was probably the right call.
But you still got to communicate with
You should probably
things.
Communicate with your quarterback and say, hey, your favorite receiver, we're probably going to move on. You know?
All right, so there's Benjamin Albright, Ryan Edwards, Broncos Country tonight, 850 KOA. Great show. Check it out.
Yeah.
And just some of the thoughts about where things are with Rodgers and the truth or fact or fiction about the Jerry Krause comments on the text thread with his teammates. He makes a lot of good points there about guys are going to get traded.
Right.
Because you hear he mentioned that there's a lot of able to trade Drew Lock and the Broncos right now cap space. Let's see. It's right now. Try to look where
it's
they are.
It's not bad, I heard. It's pretty decent.
Like 32. Of course, then they got to get guys signed, and that's going to have an impact on that. But they have the second most cap space in the league right now. Available cap space. So they're sitting at 25. Sorry, had to update that. $25 million in cap space.
That sounds right.
And so the Rodgers cap space or cap hit goes down from like 30 some to like 22 million after June 1st. That's why there's the talk about, hey, it's not going to happen until after then because of that reason.
Right.
And so, but he makes a good point about, you know, well, we'll just send him to Drew Lock. Well, they've got Jordan Love. Jordan Love's basically Drew Lock, right? Well, Drew Lock's got more experience. He's obviously played. Jordan Love was inactive all of last season. And so, yes, he's a more experienced player. But in terms of where they both are in their careers right now, it's not like Drew Lock's a 10-year vet. And I agree with Benjamin Albright in that it's you're kind of getting to a degree the same guy.
Right.
A guy with a little more experience, but still a young kind of rock player.
You almost feel bad for Teddy Bridgewater, though, because it's like, hey, you've been traded from Carolina to Denver. Actually, you've been traded from Denver to Green Bay.
But that makes a lot of sense what he's saying there, though, because if you're the Packers, I'm not sure where I am with Jordan Love. If I have to part ways with Aaron Rodgers, am I totally sold if I'm Matt LaFleur? Okay, Jordan Love's ready to go. He didn't play at all last year in the regular season.
Which
and so don't I want a veteran quarterback to come in and be that guy, kind of like with the Broncos, the reason they brought in Bridgewater with Drew Lock is
right.
Not exactly sold to my guy. Don't know what I have here. I need to have a backup plan. I need a veteran backup, but a guy that's still a relatively young player at the age of 28. And so if I'm the Packers, I don't want Drew Lock. I would rather have Teddy Bridgewater in that deal.
Right.
You're not going to trade first, you know, Sertan. I agree that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. They're going to want picks. They're not going to trade guys they drafted, you know,
right.
It's the first round, the Stokes kid from Georgia, or, you know, for Patrick Sertan. Why? And that's what.
Just because they both play corner and they're both rookies.
And like, they're both first round guys. I mean, yeah. I get it that Sertan's considered the best corner in the draft and they took him at number 9. And I get it that upside is a perceived higher upside, but come on, they're both first round guys. That doesn't make any sense. And they're going to want a guy like Cortland Sutton. They're going to want a veteran player or a young guy like a Jerry Jeudy who they still feel like can get into develop. Tim Patrick makes a lot of sense. What they said there about he could be probably better than their third best receiver in Green Bay.
Right.
Tim Patrick coming off a career year. And it's going to be draft picks, draft picks, draft picks. It's going to be first-round picks. probably at least two, if not three. And probably a player to Bridgewater, Patrick, and three first-round picks. What is that? How does that sound to you? Is that a sound? You hear that in your eardrum and go, that's terrible. That's too big of a price to pay. Or, okay, I can live with that for a guy that's probably a first, could be, obviously will be a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback.
Right. First hearing that, three first, Tim Patrick, and what was the other name you said?
Well, gosh, what did I just say? Bridgewater. Bridgewater, Patrick, three first-round picks.
Little steep. I'd be okay with two firsts and a second and Bridgewater and Patrick.
Okay.
And that was actually one of the latest I heard was that it was now kind of the needle was now two firsts and a second was what the sort of asking price was, if there was an asking price, which that may be something we don't know fully. And also, adding another wrinkle to this, did you hear what Adam Schefter said on Dan Patrick's show yesterday?
Enlighten me here, because I caught a little bit of it. I didn't catch all of it.
So in a 3-minute long clip, and I'm going to try to just find the cliff notes here, but essentially Adam Schefter said that the reason he reported what he reported on with Rodgers and doing so on draft day wasn't any new information. That it was a...
Yes, okay, we talked about this yesterday a little bit. Yeah, that it's just been a thread that's been going...
Culmination, yeah.
Right, it was a thread that had been going on for quite some time of things that happened. Kumerow getting, you know, being released and going to Buffalo, and that didn't make Rodgers happy. All these different things that, you know, have led to where we are right now in this relationship. Something else that was mentioned too by Benjamin Albright was that George Payton has not made any kind of official offer to the Packers for Aaron Rodgers. That has not happened yet.
Right.
So we'll see where this goes. I mean, every day that this drags on, the Broncos' chance of getting him grow bigger. The Broncos' odds of going to the Super Bowl get a little better.
Which I love.
Which is fantastic. So, got some thoughts on that today. Text or call us 970-242-1340. Also, dates announced for the Broncos' off-season workouts, OTA off-season workouts. Rookie minicamp, 14th to the 16th over at UC Health. Off-season workouts, May 24th, 25th, May 27th, June 1st and 2nd, June 4th, June 7th and 8th, and June 10th and 11th. So the mandatory mini camp, that is June 15th through the 17th, by the way. Also, we talked about this, about whether or not Juwan James should get the $10 million.
Yeah.
Because it's in the CBA that he doesn't, you know, the Broncos don't necessarily have to pay that if they don't want to. And from Mike Florio, the NFL Players Association suggested players that Juwan James can't be stiffed by the Broncos because you had the backlash on Twitter from guys like Patrick Mahomes. What, right. They're not going to pay him? He got hurt working out. Again, it was an off-site facility where he got hurt.
Right.
And yes, you guys agreed to that, by the way, NFLPA.
That's the rub.
But still, it seems like, come on, he was still a job-related activity. It wasn't like he was skateboarding or parasailing.
This isn't a case where he Plaxico Burrised himself.
Yeah, shot himself in the leg, something like that. That the NFL, they tried to explain to players through a memo to all teams, telling the team something they've known for decades, that injuries suffered away from the facility, even while working out for football reasons, can jeopardize a player's salary along with their other benefits. So I thought it was just a fairly recent thing with the CBA.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that's been there for a while.
Right.
And so Pro Football Talk confirmed that the NFLPA sent an email to all players regarding the James injury and the NFL memo regarding it. And in the email from the NFLPA, they call the NFL gutless for using a player's serious injuries a scare tactic to get you to come running back to these workouts. Because remember, the NFLPA said, right, you know, voluntary workouts, you shouldn't go. You shouldn't do that. Now, players did show up for some of those for the Broncos because they have workout bonuses into their contracts. They lose money right. If they don't go and do these things. At UC Health, at the team's on-site facility. So the Broncos, they could force the issue and say, look, we don't have to pay him. And James could file a grievance under the labor deal. And most people, according to Pro Football Talk, say that appeal would fail.
Because it's already in the CBA. It's already there in writing that says, if you hurt yourself off-site, we do not have to pay you. Now, you can argue, and I think a lot of smart people will argue about whether or not that is a good rule or a bad rule. Personally, I think, as it specifically relates to Juwan James, it's kind of a dumb rule. It's kind of crappy.
But you agreed to it, though. Here's the thing. The Players Association, they agreed to it.
Exactly.
It's in their CBA and their collective bargaining agreement. If you don't like it, then you shouldn't. Look, the 17 games, they approved that. Now a lot of players are complaining about it. If you want, they wanted the additional money. Some of them did.
Mm-hmm.
It's either you want additional money coming into your bank account, or you want protections. Got to pick one. You're not going to probably get both.
And if you do want both, then something else has to give.
Very true. Very true. All right, Todd K. Spear, Rifle Bears football coach, coming up in just a couple of minutes. All right, Jim Davis Show brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. We've all had that dream. Tie game, bottom of the ninth, bases loaded. Well, on FanDuel Sportsbook, you get more than one shot to swing for the fences because FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free. That's right. News can get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win, and only gets better from there. Once you have an account, you'll have access to same-game parlay insurance all season long. That's up to $25 back in site credit each day if your same-game parlay bet falls one leg short. This way you can continue. You can combine multiple baseball bets for an even bigger win. And there's a reason FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sportsbook. The app, it's really easy to use. They've got great odds in all different betting markets, unique fun bet types like same-game parlay, and always-on promotions to let you get more action out of every game day. And when you win, FanDuel pays out your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Got Rockies and the Cardinals tonight from Bush. Put a little money down on that game. Put together a same game parlay with maybe a bet on that game. Cardinals or Rockies. Of course, Cardinals favored on that one tonight. Also put some money down on Arenado going yard against his former team. A lot of things you can do putting together a same game parlay. It's just a lot of fun. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with my promo code KTMM to get in on the action. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code KTMM. 21 and older, present in Colorado, first online real money wager only for risk-free bet. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
Touchdown every morning.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back. Jim along with Cake today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trusted name in automobiles. You can text in today on a couple of questions. Number one, better chance of this happening. Aaron Rodgers joining the Broncos. Patrick Surtain Jr. winning NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. Also, 80 games, is that too much for Colton Walker? Rockies 40-man roster member, former GJ Rocky, caught using a banned substance. Trace him out was small. He is pleading his innocence in this whole thing. Is 80 games too much? Text or call us 970-242-1340. And joining us on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, former Palisade, Montrose, and Fruit of Monument coach, now guiding the Rifle Bears into the 3A semifinals. They'll take on Glenwood tomorrow. Todd Casper joins us. Todd, I appreciate it. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Doing well. Doing well, Todd. Great to talk with you. It's just weird to talk with you about a football semifinal in May. But that's, it's been how it's gone, 2020, 2021. How tough has it been, the challenge of coaching in a spring season for you? Because this is uncharted territory for you and all the guys, regardless of the classification level, coaching this spring.
Without a doubt, this has probably been the most challenging thing that I've done professionally, just because of the timing of it all. We didn't get the rifle until mid-January, and didn't have a staff. The kids have been running the set offense since they were in third grade. So we had to. It's been crazy, and I'm proud of our kids. And the coaches have worked hard, and you know we've come a long way. But by far and away, it's been the most challenging, just because of the quick turnaround and you throw in all the other craziness that's going on in a COVID year. It's been a lot, but I'm proud of our kids.
And if my understanding is correct, your son Drew Casper has been coaching out at Fruita with Cameron Ross. He's been coaching you during the spring, so it's had a chance to be with your son on your coaching staff.
Yeah, it's great. Always have loved having Drew be a part of it from a player, and he's helped me at several stops along the way. And fortunately for us, that was one of the benefits of playing spring football. So I was able to borrow him from Coach Cam at Fruita, and he's a great asset.
We mentioned that you're into the semifinals of the 3A playoffs, and definitely old school Western Slope rivalry, Rifle and Glenwood Springs. Glenwood Springs, they're 7-0. You come in 5-2, and certainly for Glenwood Springs, they've had a sensational season. One of your losses, of course, came to Glenwood Springs when you lost a close one, 22-15. So a chance in the semifinals, Todd, to get some payback against the Demons.
You know, yes, it is, and it's less about that, more about, you know, typical playoff football. It's of course we're familiar with them because we played them and vice versa. But to me, it was a pretty cool deal for us because our away game is 25 miles up the road. So instead of getting on the bus and going to the Front Range, we get to go to Glenwood and play in a place where we again played earlier. So for us, looking at the alternative, I thought it was a decent situation. That being what it is, they're the number one seed for a reason, and we're going to have to play our best football game. I thought last time we played tough, we just didn't finish the, you know, some things, and Glenwood had something to do with that. But I like our chances. Our kids are playing their best ball, and I think we're confident and know we're going to have to play well. And if we do that, we're going to have a chance.
Rifle Bears football coach Todd Casper joining us. Rifle takes on Glenwood tomorrow in the 3A football semifinals. You advance to that semifinal game, Todd, with the win over the Academy, 28-20. And your defense really kind of helped to break that game open a little bit with a 95-yard pick six by Embry Marantino. Excuse me. He took it back. Academy's defense, though, they also had a scoop and score. So the defenses for both teams were making plays early on in that football game.
Again, you said it. It was a huge play by Embry. And what was unfortunate for us is we had two different times in that game we're getting ready to go up by two scores, and both times we put the ball on the ground and they picked it up and scored. So you had three defensive touchdowns, two of them of 95-plus yards, and then one of them for their defense was a 50-yard scoop and score. So it was crazy that way. We really controlled the game. But when you turn it over for points on offense, that usually doesn't bode well. We were lucky to win the game just because of those turnovers.
Todd Casper, coach of the Rifle Bears football team with us. Bears take on Glenwood tomorrow in the 3A state football semifinals. And look, wherever you've gone, running the football, it's always been a Todd Casper staple, and it's no different at Rifle, which also has had their history of running the football. Toto Fletchall, Caden Wolf, 103 yards, 70 yards for those two guys, 173 on the ground total. Also recorded a touchdown as well. That ground game was a big factor, as it's been all season long for your team, Todd, but especially in that win against the Academy.
Yeah, it was. Our guys are doing a good job up front. You know, that's, as you know, you've watched us play enough. It always starts up front, and then our quarterback's playing well also, so we're able to move the ball a little bit, throw it at times. So I do, again, feel like things are coming together, and we need them to be just because of who we're playing.
Yeah, Trey Caldwell, your quarterback, had a really good game against the Academy. Touchdown pass, 5 of 10 for 84 yards to lead that passing attack. So Glenwood coming up tomorrow. They have the freshman quarterback, Joaquin Sandoval, pretty good player for them. Blake Nislanik, and their semifinal win, had 132 yards and a touchdown on 8 carries. So his yard per carry average was pretty darn impressive. Just take us through some of the challenges of beating the Demons in the second meeting of the season, in the most important meeting of the season, which is a spot is at stake for one of your team, for one of the two of you in the state championship game.
Well, I think, again, it's typical semifinal stuff, and you have the added piece of the rivalry between Glenwood and Rifle, so it'll be interesting for sure. I know our kids are excited to get another shot at Glenwood, and at the same time, they've got a really good team, and they've got, you know, like 18 seniors, which is a lot at this level. And so their kids are playing well, and we're doing the same. And again, we just got to hang in there, find a way to try to win it in the fourth quarter. And we were in that position last time and couldn't quite finish the deal. So we'll see what happens on Saturday. But I know I'm looking forward to watching our kids compete. And it's a big game. It's a big Western Slope game. So we're excited about that.
Talking with Rifle Bears head coach Todd Casebeer as he and his team get ready for state semifinals. Coach, biggest lesson that you're taking away from that first matchup with Glenwood and applying it to this semifinal game?
That we just got to play clean football. We had a turnover in the red zone in that game also. We had four false starts. We had their quarterback on their game-winning drive. We had him wrapped up on fourth down, and should have, the game should have, it wouldn't have been over, but we should have had the ball back, and we missed the sack. They just made, again, they made a couple more plays, but we had something to do with that also. We made some mistakes. So we know if we play a clean football game, we think we have a great chance of winning. And, of course, it's high school football. It's hard to, you know, we played really good last week except for two fumbles for scores. Well, that's a pretty big except, you know. So we know we need to play our best, and we hope we can do that.
Todd Casebeer, coach of the Rifle Bears, with us today on the Team Sports Network. And I just got to ask the question, because I certainly think anytime you win a state championship, I don't care if it's out of the normal season for that sport, it's you're winning a state title, you're competing for it, and that doesn't matter. But there are those that certainly say, well, the majority of the teams played in the fall, fewer teams played in the spring. In your opinion, Todd, I mean, I don't think, like I said, I don't think this lessens for you the importance of you guys getting to a state championship game, winning a state title. I'm sure that you don't feel like that lessens it at all, even though the field certainly is not as big as it would normally be to compete for a state title.
It doesn't change one bit, Jim. If we end up winning this game and have a chance, if whoever's got that gold trophy at the end, they've earned it. We didn't create COVID. We didn't create the two football seasons. You know, we, Rifle, chose to play in the spring, and so that's what we're doing. And there's a tournament, and we're in it, and you want to be the last team standing. So I'm not going to discount it a bit for whoever wins it. We'll go play our best tomorrow, hopefully, and hopefully get a shot at playing next week. But the fact that there's two of them, I hear what you're saying, but at the end of the day, it means nothing to our guys. They'll be excited if they get a chance to compete for it, you know, and again, and we're in the tournament. We have earned the right to be here, and we hope we can play another week.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the circumstances, you didn't control that. Nobody did. And you can only play the season that you're allowed to play against the competition that's there in front of you on your schedule. And you guys have obviously, you know, it's been a challenge for everybody. You know, tip of the hat to everybody that's been a football coach this spring, coaching through what's been certainly some challenging times. But congratulations on what's been a very successful season. Hopefully, Todd, maybe a chance to talk to you about playing in a state title game. That'd be a lot of fun to have that conversation again. Familiar territory for you. That'd be a lot of fun to talk about that.
I hope we get the chance.
Well, Todd, I appreciate the time. Best of luck tomorrow against Glenwood Springs. Always good to catch up with you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
All right. Take care. Todd Casebeer, coach of the Rifle Bears. Now, I just want to ask the question because there are many people that will say that.
No, I think it's a fair question.
Yeah, and you know, to me, you can only play the competition that you're able to play in the season that you're designated to play in. And you know, give all the coaches, not just football, but every sport.
Oh, absolutely.
Of dealing with some very difficult challenges, and the players, the kids. I mean, you know, everybody, officials that have had to deal with a very tough 2020, 2021 high school sports season.
Literal once in a lifetime circumstances that no one prepares you for. No one, you know, there's no class to take, or there's no coaching drill that you can run at practice that says, oh, yeah, by the way, this is how we're going to do it in the right. middle of a global pandemic.
Yeah.
There's no playbook for it. And so to be able to do what they've done and to do it in the way they've done it and how, for what it's worth, it's been phenomenal. And I don't think.
Yeah.
I think the people that would sort of minimize,
because I've heard that a little bit. Well, it's not as impressive as the majority of the teams played in the fall. And I mean, I hear those whispers about it, and
you hear the whispers, but I think the people that are making those whispers, I think the people that are saying things like, well, you know, it does it really count? Is it really full? The people that are minimizing those, I think are just petty. I think they're just sad. I think they're making.
I'm just glad kids are playing. I don't care if it's the fall season or the spring season. You win a state title, you win a state title.
Yeah.
And that's it, whether it's in the fall or the spring. So noon tomorrow for that game, Glenwood taking on Rifle. Glenwood hosting that. They're the number one seed, Rifle the number four seed. And then also 1 o'clock tomorrow, the Classical Academy is the second seed. Six-seeded Sand Creek is the other semifinal, with obviously the two winners playing in the 3A state championship game. Speaking of high school football, more playoff football coming up. Brian Bristol, coach of the Plateau Valley Cowboys, they're into the eight-man semifinals. They're playing it tonight at Hoeny, so we'll hear from him coming up in just a moment. But right now, let's go ahead and get into...
We're into four-down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
There we go. Brett Favre.
Favre.
We've heard a lot from Brett Favre lately. Talking about Aaron Rodgers' situation and everything. Well, Brett Favre barely owes a lot of money. He still has $600,000 in Mississippi welfare money to pay back from the biggest embezzlement case in the state's history.
Really?
That, according to Mississippi Today, no one else in the audit has returned any money. So Favre's not the only guy that hasn't returned this money. But, you know, I mean, it's $600,000 that he apparently owes the Mississippi welfare funds.
Oh. I have not heard this.
They paid him. Here's the deal. They paid him for speeches he never gave.
Oh.
It's a scandal involving the Mississippi Department of Human Services. An audit of the state's DHS found that $94 million in questionable welfare spending, including payments total $1.1 million to Favre Enterprises, that he was slated to make promotional appearances, do autograph sessions, speaking engagements, and never paid the money back. Never did the things and never gave the money back for things he did not do.
Oops.
Not good.
No, not good at all.
All right, second down. Jimbo Fisher, Texas A&M coach. He's had a long rivalry with Nick Saban. They've faced each other on a few occasions. And Jimbo Fisher said that the Aggies are going to beat Saban and Alabama's butts this season.
I'm guessing he didn't say butts, though.
No, he did not say butts.
Uh-huh.
And apparently Nick Saban's response was, in golf?
Because
it was about beating Nick Saban, not so much about beating Alabama, beating Nick Saban. He goes, in golf?
Ooh. A little salty there, Nick Saban.
I like that. It's good. That's a good comeback,
that
Nick.
That is a good one.
Good job, Nick Tater.
All right, third down, Rockies Cardinals. Are we surprised? Because I don't know about you, but I have not seen a lot of national baseball media hype for the fact that this is Nolan Arenado's first game against his old team. Are we surprised that we have not seen as much into that or dived as deep into that?
Is that where things are at the Rockies, though? More than it's about the Cardinals. That the Rockies are so low on the national MLB radar that their first game against a guy that's perhaps the greatest player in Rockies history.
Yeah,
certainly one of the greatest. That they're not. It's not even really registering on anybody's radar. says more about the Rockies than it says about the Cardinals or...
Yeah, probably.
Or Arenado just says, well...
Yeah.
We care about it here more than apparently the national media scene cares about it.
Probably so. Fourth down, Shohei Ohtani becomes only the second player in baseball history to record a season with 10 homers and 30 strikeouts in a season twice. Can you name the other player? It's pretty obvious.
Can you give that to me one more time?
Shohei Ohtani, second player in baseball history to record a season twice with 10 homers and 30 strikeouts. Who's the other player?
Say it's obvious?
It's pretty obvious.
10 home runs and 30.
Who else is famous for being both a hitter and a pitcher?
Babe Ruth?
Babe Ruth.
Yeah, so think about it. I have to go way back. Babe Ruth, yeah.
Babe Ruth and Shohei Ohtani in good company with each other.
Sorry, I was...
No, you're good. You're good. Yeah. I could have phrased that better.
That's okay. No, the Tandy computer, the Radio Shack computer in my brain was working very, very slowly. All right, that's four down territory. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll have our conversation with Brian Bristol, Plateau Valley football coach. The Cowboys in the eight-man semifinals taking on Hoeny tonight. We'll have that next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Who do I listen to?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader.
Whoever suggested that has got to be smoking crack and plenty of it.
Whoa.
The Team.
Welcome back. Jim along with Cake from the Bose Darth Miller. Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. All right, some things to comment on today. A lot of stuff we're giving away today.
Lots of goodies.
So today we'll have a Winer of the Week with Talon Winery. I like the Nick Wright one a lot. Whining about Nicole Jokic. She's not worthy of being an MVP.
Where's the MVP in 35 years? Stop it.
Shut up. So if you have a Winer of the Week, you need to get that to us this morning on the text line, 970-242-1340. You can win a bottle of Talon Wine from Talon Winery. Thank you, James, for doing that. So we'll pick a winner coming up at 9:20 this morning. Also have tickets, a pair of tickets to the Highland Games out at the Mesa County Fairgrounds next weekend, 15th and the 16th, and Qdoba today. So some things to comment on. Number one, better odds of it happening. Rodgers coming to the Broncos or Patrick Surtain Jr. winning NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. Also, Colton Welker, former G.J. Rocky, member of the Rockies 40-man roster, got hit with an 80-game suspension for PED use, though there's some things about this that are, it's not clear-cut.
It's a little hinky.
Right. For a guy, particularly a guy of his level, a guy that's still, he was AAA for Albuquerque, still a minor league guy, even though he's on the 40-man major league roster, but a guy that's still a young guy, and an 80-game suspension is just devastating in terms of development for a young player.
Yeah.
Is 80 games too much for a player like Colton Welker of suspending him for that long? So text or call us today. We'll pick some winners for those prizes, 970-242-1340. All right, we talked with Todd Casebeer, Rifle Bears head coach. Also had a chance this week to talk with Brian Bristol, the coach of the Plateau Valley Cowboys. They have me tonight in the eight-man semifinals playoffs. Brian Bristol from the Cowboys. Brian, appreciate the time. How are you doing?
I'm good, Jim. Thank you.
Well, it just, once again, it's just so weird to be talking about you guys in the playoffs in the final day of April. But, you know, you're playing football. You've been playing football. And it's, I think, you know, certainly been great for your kids to get that chance to go out and play. And you're going to have a chance in the playoffs to maybe win a state championship of Plateau Valley. Now, you square off against Justice. You're the 4 seed. They're the 5 seed. And you've already been able to pick up a win against them this season. Took care of them 40-14. Where you really dominated them on the ground, Brian, 187 yards and 3 touchdowns in that win over Justice in that previous meeting.
Yeah, they're a good ball club. They throw the ball really well, but we just had some running backs that really gave them fits, and they couldn't stop too much.
When you look at that game, you only gave up 14 points in that game. What defensively is working well that day against Justice?
Defensively, we were getting pressure on their quarterback, and we were forcing him to try to beat us with his feet. He put a lot of yards on us running the ball, but he's a talented thrower, and they've got some talented receivers. So we wanted him to have to beat us with his feet instead of throwing the ball, because they can put some points on the board in a hurry in the passing game. And so our front three on our defensive line really got after him, and that helped a ton.
Yeah, their quarterback, Angel Garcia, has had a really good season. Titus Gebhardt has been their leading rusher on the season, but we talked about how good your running game was against Justice, and a guy that really helped kind of set the stage on that was Colton Wetzel, who had a really good game in that previous victory. Colton had 66 yards. Dalton Kreitz had 73. Those two had really productive days on the ground against Justice in that previous meeting.
Yeah, absolutely. And Colton was instrumental in that, because he actually switched positions at halftime. Dalton Kreitz was running tailback because we needed Colton Wetzel to be one of our linemen at the time. We were developing a sophomore lineman and needed Colton to just step up and be a lineman that day, and up until that season, actually, or that game in the season. And Colton then stepped in at halftime to run the tailback spot after Dalton had a little foot injury. So all that yardage that Colton accrued in that game and the touchdowns, that was all in a half. And he's been our tailback ever since then. Dalton's moved to our H-back, or our slot, kind of. And we filled Colton's spot on the offensive line with the sophomore we were developing, and he's really come along. Caden Rocha has been really helped us there at the offensive line standpoint.
Brian Bristol, coach of the Plateau Valley Cowboys football team, joining us. They open up the eight-man playoffs tomorrow against Justice, as we mentioned, a team that they've already played and defeated this season 40-14. And you mentioned Colton and the versatility. I mean, our apologies on that. That was the previous interview that we had with Brian Bristol, not the one we had this week. Grabbed the wrong interview that we had previously had with Brian Bristol.
Oh, well. Principally, still the same, though, and the last time he played that interview, they went on to win. So
yeah, so that was before the game with...
Maybe it's a good luck omen.
With Justice prior to that. So I appreciated the time that Brian spent with us. He came on the program to talk about his football team. But they have Honey tonight, 7 o'clock, over on the Front Range. So we wish them the best of luck. But yes, that was a... I believe that was the wrong interview. My apologies on that. All right. Dexter, call the show, 970-242-1340.
You know what? It's
Friday. At the date, and it was the wrong... I'm like, wow, that's not the right thing. That's not what I intended on playing. All right. We will next hour, though, with the appropriate interview, the correct date, hear from Vince Smith, the coach of the CMU men's lacrosse team. They play at 3 o'clock today against Adams State, but... once again, my apologies on that. But, you know, it was a little preview stuff, but that was before their game last week against Justice. By the way, speaking of some of the eight-man playoffs, I do want to mention that it's Honey tonight. They're 5-0. Plateau Valley's 3-4 going into that game, 7 o'clock for that one tonight. Honey, the preseason favorite to win the title in eight-man football. And for Plateau Valley, they opened up their season with a 50-18 loss to Honey, so looking to turn their fortunes around tonight. And that one, the other semifinal, is Front Range Christian taking on John Mull. So high school playoff football, we're now into the semifinals and all the classifications playing this spring. All right, text or call the show, 970-242-1340. Jim along with Cake today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. We'll take a break and come back with more in hour three, and we're going to pick a winner. Get your Winer of the Weekend to win wine from Talon Winery. Text that in.